Christmas time coming up, it's really important that we check on these people, the vulnerable, you know what I mean? And then when you see them, make sure you say, Ollie's at the wheel, at the wheel, Ollie's at the wheel. Na 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 na. Fucking love it.
Got a section of the EV fence out of commission over here. Over.
Roger that, Mongoose 2. We'll maintain readiness until visual contact is re-established.
Ladies and gentlemen,
has left the club.
We got him.
Yes,
that's lucky, boy.
Yeah, we are back. Saeed, a happy man, even though you got smashed by Watford, yeah?
It is what it is, man. It's Watford, man. Thank you. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, it mate. Is what it you, is.
That's my second favourite team now after United, Watford, mate. Come on, chief.
That's my second favourite team after Wolf. It's been a mad weekend still. I can't lie. Toby called for my head on Saturday, but obviously Ole, you know, takes the biscuit at the end of the day, so it is what it is. Matisse, strong performance from Chelsea, likewise with Man City. And Grizz, smiling over there. I didn't get to see you in Liverpool, but I'm glad I didn't get to see you in Liverpool too.
I was texting him so much because I was like right over the Arsenal fans. I was like, where are you? Where are you? He didn't answer my text. Cool, nothing. 3 hours later, I like that.
Yeah, 3 hours later on the way back, yeah, I just replied no. That was
no.
It.
No.
So cheeky. I added him on Twitter, I added him on Insta.
I know.
Nothing from Turkish.
I know. I swear I was looking for him hard. Yeah. I had proper every man looking for him. I said, there's one guy with a big beard. No, it's not. I mean, just look for him there.
He only came back online, Grizz, when it was like midnight. It was like midnight, 12:30 or 1 a.m. And I see a story from Turkish. Because I saw no story from Turkish.
Adele.
I pre-prepped the story, yeah. And I thought, let me just see how this day plays out, man. Because I don't want to just do a mad thing. I'm not like that usually. And then lucky I did. Because if I did the whole day, match day vlog type of Insta story, yeah. It would have ended in tears. I was listening to Adele on the way back. It's all mad.
No wonder you're sad, mate. Listening to Adele on the way back, I'm crying and that in the car.
Have you noticed the only one who didn't smile was Toby, but when you said Adele, because she's a Spurs fan and that.
Yo.
Getting the car up to 150 mile an hour, crying to Adele and that, ready to do it. That's why Saeed goes on the train, man. You get him in a car with Adele, it's game over.
Now, that's why, you know me, anytime we have a heavy result, I just chill outside in the ground, me. That's why Steve caught me. I was just chilling, man, just like devastated, isn't it? Because when you're outside, everyone comes out and starts saying, what was that, man? So I just take a little bit of breather, take it in, and then come out and I'm like, yeah, cool, we lost now 5-0.
I'll tell the truth, you're hiding in the ground, innit? You're shit off your own fans, you let them all go, and then next minute, you're
not going to stand. Listen, man, I'm here, mate, I'm here. When it's raining and it's sunny, man, I'm there, mate. So anyone can come at me, man, anyone. You know what I'm saying?
Big up Real Ball Talk as well, early with the super chat. It's been a little while, my bro. I can't lie. We have to come on your channel real soon. Just message me and we'll sort something out.
Yeah, big them up, man. I just done a little show with them right now.
Oh, yeah, swear. Man. I need to catch up with that one. Lovely time for the G Turkish. Much love to Grizz, Matisse, Tolb, Saeed, and Steve too. Saeed deserves today. You, man, let him enjoy. So what are you saying? Start with you, Saeed, then. I think it makes sense.
Listen, what can I say, man? Let me just get this speaker right here, man. You know what I mean? But it's been an emotional journey, man. I've seen it from the start, but like I said to you, man, I was on a lonely journey, man. You know what I mean? Through the pain. Every time when there was a high moment, you know, you guys were saying, give him credit. I was saying, no, individual brilliance is carrying Ollie. You know, this isn't. I said last season when we finished second, it's a false position. You know, I said it, and I wasn't here to be right. I was here to be proven wrong. I was here to be proven wrong. But Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, for me, there's no hate towards Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He just wasn't the man. And I said it 2 years ago. He was a shield for the Glazers. They knew what they were doing. They knew Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was going to come in, and it was going to be that sentiment, that feeling of, you know what, you've got a legend in charge. Let's put him in between the fan base. Let's get the fan base fighting over a manager. And then the Glazers at the top can just chill out and do what they want. And they've done it for 2.5 years. Fair play, it's lasted this long, you know, because for me, I've lost 2.5 years of, you know, wanting to win trophies. But it is what it is. We're rejoicing now. Listen, it's a short-term rejoice because Michael Carrick is still there and we have to wait. But listen, when there's a certain magician called Maurizio Pochettino, then maybe we might have some sort of, you know, glory days back. You never know. You never know. But listen, all I'm saying to you is just enjoy it, United fans. You know, I mean, don't listen to the negativity around us. Enjoy it, embrace it, and let's kick on now. You know what I mean? It's been a long, long journey, and now let's push on. Hopefully, if it's Zidane, if it's Ten Hag, whoever comes in, I think for me now, we've got the foundations in the squad. You know what I mean? And we can just push on now, and let's see where we come. But for me, I'm happy. I mean, there's nothing bad about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. It was always just about footballing reasons. And for me, it wasn't right for the job. So my thing is, we go now, you get me, we'll just move forward, and that's it for me. I'm just, the pain of the 5-0, man. Nobody should be put through a 5-0 at home to Liverpool. Nobody should be put through 2-0 training ground with Man City. It's not good, man. It really isn't good for your mental health. And I'm being serious, man. I'm normally quite a positive person, but that was pain, man. It was really, really pain. And he should have been sacked. But what they did was they let him rot. They let him kind of like embarrass himself. And for me now, I can just enjoy life now. I really can. I'm looking forward to watching football now, hopefully, when we get a new manager that brings a style of play. I can just enjoy football now, you know? So for me, I'm happy, man. I'm happy. So everyone who's United fan, just be happy.
And then you got Chelsea next. It's mad. Next Monday is going to be an interesting one.
It is, but listen, if we can get something sorted out after, I'm not expecting anything from Carrick. But after that, we could just say, you know, it's...
Carrick, the interim to the interim.
Yeah. I think, you know what, I think they've worded it wrong. I think they mean interim. Caretaker, yeah. So then after that, they find a manager. Because I don't think they'll give him a bumper contract to whoever comes in. I think it will be still a 2-year deal, to be honest with you. But I think they've worded it wrong. But I think it'll be Carrick, because he's only got 6 games... in terms of his coaching badges, and then they'll look to get whoever they want. But listen, as long as it's not Brendan Rodgers, for me, you know,
so Carrick's not got his coaching badges.
You know, he's got his coaching badges, but apparently they only last for 6 games. He's got like a short term. To be a manager in the Premier League, you have to have a kind of a long term coach. He's only got it for 6 games, so he's it won't be.
Oh, so he can only do a maximum of 6 games.
Maximum 6 games, yeah, that will allow him.
I was hoping he would go on like a run, and then Rio would get the mic out on BT Sport. We'd have him permanently here.
It's a mess, isn't it? You can sit there and celebrate. You can celebrate all you want, but you know it's a mess.
It is a mess.
Listen, it's a mess, but listen.
You've seen light, innit? You've seen a bit.
You know what? They destroyed their legend in front of the whole world. They sacked him, wheeled him out on MUTV, made him do an interview. They've had him filming him outside the training ground, cuddling fans. They've had all the players' accounts tweeting Ole legend. It is an absolute disgrace. The guy, you know what? Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is a legend for Man United for what he did. And Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is a nice guy. But what that club done to him, them owners have done to him and hung him out to dry, I'd never set foot back in the gaff again. I'd sit in fucking Norway fishing with my little Nomad on, with me $7.5 million in my back pocket and say, fuck you. Innit?
You know what?
Absolutely.
But I don't know, guys, if you heard the same or read the same.
He does.
I heard that Ole wanted to do that.
He wanted to do it.
The club didn't press him to do that.
Yeah.
Which is so weird and cringe. Like, why did they even let him do it?
Why? Because it's part of the PR, man. It's part of the PR.
Crying
in the videos and stuff. When have you ever seen a manager get sacked and then the club do like a farewell video? What?
Straight pussy, man. It's all this bullshit about Man United and we do it the right way.
Absolutely.
You do everything the fucking wrong way. And even that's the wrong way. There was times where the press guy at United should have pulled him from interviews. Just after a game, they should have said, Alex Ferguson loads of times went, not speaking. He's got the players locked in the dressing room. That's what he should have said. Because then the fans will go, Ollie didn't come out. He's giving the players a load of shit in the dressing room. But instead...
You know why they've done that?
They had the captain there going, I have to come out here because I have to do it. And then you've got poor Ollie, who's getting knifed from every angle, just taking the flak at the end of the day. Everybody knew it wasn't good enough. We all knew that. And then now, they've knew since the you lost that final last season that he ain't the man. So they've had a full, more or less a full season to get someone lined up. And I'm telling you now, the famous Man United shit that they all come out with, there's not that many people want that job. It's not that attractive anymore. Look at it. It's not. Ronaldo's now coming out saying the place is mad. You know what I mean? I'm telling you now, Pochettino, he's made for you because that guy's a bottler as well.
Say that again. Say that again.
Fucking let's Pochettino, he's called. He's a bottler, mate. The guy's a bottler. The guy cries let's getting to Champions League semi-finals.
Let's not do this.
Hold on. Before we go into that, I just think it's mad that, like you said, they send him out there almost... The guy is having to apologize for smiling.
I know.
That's how you, like, come on now. Exactly. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is getting embarrassing now. The brother's out here having to...
Is that when you slap a person and say,
farewell video? Do you know what I'm saying? He's there smiling, apologizing for smiling, saying, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to smile. What the fuck's going on? And I said this to you last week. I said, you know, your club is... Yes, you said you could attract anyone. You're Man United. That shit only runs for mandem that are not intelligent enough to see the mess that has been created. I've said it before. You guys have a good squad in terms of ability, but in terms of actual squad planning, it's a mess.
No, it's more the structure. It's more
I have to ask you why.
Forget the players. It's the structure. It's not the players. But
there's a lot of players that belong to a lot of different systems. But I have to ask you, why are you so gung ho on Pochettino, but you're slagging off Brendan Rodgers? I rate both of them. But I don't understand.
Listen, it's about preference, though. It's a bit preference. It's about preference, though.
But you call Brendan Rodgers.
I'm not here to discuss who's better. It's about preference.
But why? So, okay, preference is one thing. But you called Rodgers the Ollie 2.0. So what's the massive difference?
It's a glorified Ollie. For me, when you look at Pochettino, what he's done at Tottenham, a lot of people have dismissed it, you know. And you could talk about the Leicester.
What did you even talk
to Mr. Rodgers?
It's been Tottenham relevant, mate. It's been Tottenham relevant. And
listen, hold on a minute.
Whether you like it or not, where do you put Tottenham? Where would we put Tottenham? They were top four regularly.
Where did you put Leicester?
Leicester, have they got top four?
Who's the better club here? Tottenham.
I'm talking about in terms of what he achieved, though.
He's won the FA Cup with Leicester.
Are you going to let me speak? I'm talking about Tottenham and what they achieved with the money they had for me. Pochettino, whether you like it or not, you were all praising him at that time and saying Pochettino's doing an amazing job. So why now are you saying right now? Hold on a minute, mate. Why are you now saying that when he's coming to Man United?
That's when you're getting it twisted.
The narrative changed. The narrative changed.
But I'm just trying to understand how you can slag.
Because again, it's a preference. I'm not here to say Brendan Rodgers and Rodgers. I'm not here for that. If I want that, then I'll do whatever I need to do in terms of analysing managers. But it's about preference. I want Pochettino because I believe with the squad we've got, he will be able to do something with that. With Brendan Rodgers, I don't think he is. Maybe it's just a kind of a hesitancy on Brendan Rodgers' behalf.
What is your reason? Brendan Rodgers'
his defensive record. Go and see what his defensive record is. And maybe Gris can talk about it as well in terms of Liverpool, how many goals they were shipping in. And then Leicester right now, the amount of goals they're shipping in for me. I'm sorry. Maybe it's recency bias. Maybe it is. But Brendan Rodgers right now at Leicester, the amount of goals they conceded, they're one behind Norwich City, mate. I'm not having that, man. And we're leaking goals in, mate. And we're
you're just saying you've had
I want that because again, it comes down to preference. Who are you to tell me? Hold on a minute, man. Who are you to tell me what should I get and what should I get?
Better than you. Leicester are better.
Who are you to tell me? Who are you to tell me what I should want?
We're the Premier League champions. I can say what I want, mate.
I know why you're scared, mate, because we're not going to win the Champions League before you. Is that why you're scared?
Scared.
We'll be winning the Champions
League. Steve's scared.
Steve is going to switch.
Steve's scared. Steve's scared. He's going to have to say Pochettino every week.
He's going to switch.
Is it because
Man's scared? Listen, you need to stop with this whole Man United scare.
No, hold it a bit.
Let him go.
He's doing a nice job. Steve, you tell us that we should be scared for years.
Are you scared that Guardiola is going to bottle another Champions League and Pochettino might
listen,
one win?
Listen, we'll be in the Champions League.
Are you scared? Is that the reason why?
No, I'm not scared about Pep Guardiola, mate. He wins trophies, mate.
Listen, end of the day, yeah, Pep Guardiola is still struggling with that Champions League, yeah? And if who's to say...
Don't talk about the Champions League,
hold on a minute, man. I'm not getting clipped, mate. Because at the end of the day, it's facts. But Guardiola hasn't won the Champions League. It's facts.
He might get clipped.
I'm going to ask you a question.
He has won the Champions League.
No, no, with Man City.
Oh, right.
That's super narrative, then. Because we're talking about Man City. It's a big six show, mate. It's a big six show, right? Let me tell you a question, right? Matisse, did Guardiola... Sorry, did Tuchel won the Champions League? With them before he came.
Oh no, before not he before came. He came. No.
Okay. So what's to say Pochettino with this?
Well,
squad...
Tuchel won trophies before he got to Chelsea.
No, I'm talking about Champions League in terms of Pochettino coming with this squad. Yeah, who's to say that he might not?
I keep telling you to stop comparing your team to my team, and you keep doing it. So I can only help.
We've got a better squad. So much. You know why? Because we've got a better squad.
Because we didn't do what we did, if you don't win the Champions League, you're undermining season, though, I don't want to hear it because you keep doing this. You keep comparing.
I'm saying this could happen.
It's not a comparison.
No, I'm saying this could happen. We've got the squad ready.
You've got ability, but in terms of playing profile and different styles and systems, it's a mess. You've got fullbacks that suit. Back threes, fullbacks that suit low block.
We've also got second options. We've also got second options that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer didn't use. We've also got second options that this manager hasn't chosen in Dalot, in Telles.
And what did I say to you last week?
And a different manager can use them, right?
What did I say last week? I said, is the manager that comes in going to have the balls and the bottle, right? The bottle to drop some of the bigger names that he has to drop to play his way? And is that going to cause tension in the dressing room? That's what I said.
So why would we not do that?
Why wouldn't he though?
Toby, it's not as easy as just drop big names.
Matisse, where did I say it's easy? I said
right, then.
You said
you just say Dalot and Telles then. Just to clarify that.
Yeah, Dalot and Telles.
I'm not saying
that's what I'm saying,
Toby, you think these guys are haters, man?
Matisse, you're top of the league, yeah? Have you got an attacker, apart from Lukaku, do you have an attacker capable of even getting 10 goals in a season in all comps, in the league? Double figures in the league.
Capable of getting 10 goals, yes.
Do you have an attacker that, hand on heart, you can say you're going to score double figures this season outside of Lukaku in the league?
No, wait.
Second question. Is your attack good?
Our attack is good, yes.
Is your attack good?
Did you just ask me if my attack is good?
Bro, your attacking players, are they good? Are they good at doing their job? Are they good at scoring goals?
Toby, I'm going to land. Are attackers good? Yes, they are good. Are they world class, most of them? No, but you're not going to tell me that the team that has top two goals scored in the league, they're not good. Of course, they are good players. Yes, they are good players.
Matisse. How many goals have those attackers scored from the 28 odd goals you have scored this season? How many have they scored? Lukaku's on three goals.
Toby, they are good players.
Matisse, the point I'm making is you don't have attackers who are firing right now, and you're top of the league, and you scored the second most goals. So who are you to say to Saeed that because they've got some disjointed players in defence, a better manager can't come in and make that team play?
So you're trying to tell me that team is going to come and they're
potential champions. What's this all this hype of?
Hold on. Before Saeed goes off on one, Toby, back up what you're saying. Don't put your hands up now and start trying to relieve your responsibility.
Let's finish the conversation.
If Pochettino comes in, Manchester United are now competing for the Champions League. You agree with him, yeah?
What's that?
Manchester United are now competing for the Champions League if Pochettino comes in.
Of course, with the squad we've got.
I'm asking Toby. Let me ask Toby.
I think it's a bit far fetched, but why can't they go for the Champions League? Why can't they do something in the Champions League?
That's what I just said. He just said.
Yeah, but I'm not arguing that, though. I agreed with him saying that they can actually utilize their team better. You're saying that.
I didn't say they wouldn't improve. Of course, they're going to improve. Ollie just had them shit.
Bro, why are you shouting? I'm not saying that you didn't say they're going to improve. You just said that they've got a bunch of.
That's why they're not going to win the Champions League.
That, Matisse, you're not understanding who's calls that. It's more the manager rather than players.
Saeed has just said Manchester United are going to be Champions League contenders.
No, I didn't say
and
that.
I've just said, and I've just given reasons as to why not. And now you're telling me. What are you telling me? Because they're disjointed.
So they're disjointed. Can I rebuttal that? Can I rebuttal that?
That's why they're not Champions League contenders.
Can I rebuttal that there for you in one sentence, right? And for the people that are listening here, please listen. Pochettino can have a playing style that's better than Ollie's and can improve that. Is that feasible, right?
Of course he can. Yeah.
The argument's finished then. The argument's finished.
No, it's not. Because it is finished. There's a difference between
improving. What are you talking about?
Are you hearing this shit? There's a difference between improving and becoming European champions.
I said we could be contenders. Why can't Man United, with the squad we've got,
just called out Pep and said watch when Pochettino does this,
okay,
that.
Fair play, Steve. And Matisse, at least be honest, like Steve was saying, we're shit. Instead of coming with his ifs and ifs.
You are shit.
We're shit, innit? All right,
explaining why you shit.
Man said, leave it.
Guys, jealous, you're hating. I know
I'm not hating.
Why are you hating, bro?
I'm just saying you're not Champions League contenders. That's all I've said.
No, it's not for me. It's not genuine what you're saying, man. I think there's a lot of ifs and buts. You're not understanding the other side of the point where if Pochettino gets it right, it could happen. I get there's going to be a lot of things that happen and he has to get the squad playing. But Tuchel's coming and he's coming and some of them were disjointed. Hold on a minute, let me speak.
You're very sure of Pochettino, isn't it?
No, I'm not very sure, but I'm backing my manager, Turkish man. Why can't I back my manager? If Pochettino comes in? No, I'm saying if Pochettino comes in, I'm be able to back the manager, say, you know what, with the squad we've got, I'm very, very, listen, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was playing McTominay and Fred. He was playing certain players that were favourites. If he comes in and plays Donny van der Beek, and let's say a Matic in a double pivot, look at that again. You know what I mean? What's this guy on about, man?
He must be just be that simple, innit? Come in, play Donny van der Beek, and then you're Champions League contenders.
You know what I mean? You're going to take at least
two or three seasons. Pochettino's got an amazing squad at PSG now, better than yours, and can't get anywhere near that Champions League final. He ain't going to win it with Paris.
How do you know if Pochettino stayed in, he wouldn't win the Champions League? Why are you just dismissing it already?
He's not going to win it, mate.
Did he win it last year? He's not going to do it. How do you know?
He got to the semis last year.
He got to the semi-finals last year, man.
Is that bad?
Listen, you might celebrate semis, but we don't. If you win it, you win it.
You went to the final and you still didn't win it.
So that's right, Chef. You celebrate semis.
No one is celebrating semis, bro. But you just said
kids here, Steve.
He got to the semis last year. Is that not a fact? He got to the semi-finals last year.
Exactly. I don't understand this, man. There's a lot of hate going on, man. Listen, it comes to the territory. You've done this so many times, right?
Me and Steve are trying to guide you to some realism, and you're talking about winning the Champions League. And you haven't even put the manager in place.
I didn't say win. What did I say?
Every season, you blow things out of proportion. We've got Swee Machine. We're going to win the league. We're going to do the quadruple. We're trying to calm you down and say, you're going to improve, but you're not going to do a madness.
I said content.
And you want to cuss us for it.
I said content. But what you're doing is, no, hold on a minute. What you're doing is, I'm just calming down. No, hold on a minute.
One at a time, man. Don't forget.
What you're doing is, but you won't do this, and you won't do that, and you won't do this. I'm saying, what about if he does? And you're just almost dismissing it. So that's each their own. But we'll leave it at that, because for me, I'll believe in my team, and then you can doubt it. That's what we're here for. The Big Six is here to doubt the other team. And it's what it is.
Mad.
Yeah.
Mad. Big up everyone in the chat as well. Bare super chats have flown in. I didn't get a chance to read one single one. We've got one here from Boogeyman, where we had a few from Boogeyman. Big up everyone that sent one through. Big up everyone watching. 4,000 here already, 25 minutes in. You know what it is already. Description box below, every channel, Steve, Saeed, Matisse, Tobes, and Grizz. Subscribe, subscribe. Skullfuggery as well. All of it's there. Make sure you support all of the man them on the channel. Boogeyman here says, what's Steven Grizz saying about Chelsea? Why you guys worry about Ole and United? They are running away with the trophy. Somebody needs to stop Matisse and Chelsea. And we got one here from Usman, basically what I just said. Subscribe to all six of these men. Even if you don't support their clubs, end of the day, they're all real football men and make quality content. I hate Tottenham too, but get Tobes to 5K. Come on now. It should be happening.
All I'm saying, Calm and Collective is, you've just spent 2 years trying to get rid of your manager, yeah? You said it 2 years ago. Now all of a sudden he's gone, and now you want to back your manager, right? That's fine, but be humble about it.
Of course,
the results in the Premier League are disgusting. Let me speak. The Champions League, you're getting done, or you're scraping past minnows. Yeah, you're probably going to get beat off Villarreal, right? So don't think Pochettino coming in there is just going to make you Champions League contenders, because there's at least 7, 8, 9, 10 teams in that Champions League that will wipe the floor with you, even if you had a world-class manager at the end of the day. Well, so again, you're getting a bit like with Pochettino and that.
So with every world-class manager, we'll get beat. Okay, fair enough.
You went from Antonio Conte, you wanted. Then you wanted Zidane. So at the end of the day, you'll take anyone because you're desperate.
You just said with every world-class manager, we won't win anything.
Let me speak. Calm down. This guy, man. Yeah? You've not even got your manager yet. You've got Michael Carrick. So don't start parping on about PSG's manager until he goes through the door. You've got Carrick.
Why are you so rattled?
Listen, let me speak. Michael Carrick, Ed Woodward's staying on a little bit to steady the ship. So don't talk to anyone in this about maybe you being contenders.
What you said there is the worst thing I've ever heard, man. You just said with every world-class manager,
Are you going to let me speak? Because you've had half an hour talking about Pochettino. He's not even your manager.
Is Pochettino right?
Relax. Be humble about it. Because you're going to dig yourself a hole. Them Man United fans that already want to do you in are going to want to do you in even more.
You just said right now, which I think is a load of nonsense. You just said any world-class manager won't still win anything. So who are we going to win under the...
No, you won't win the Champions League. If a world-class manager came in with that squad now, you wouldn't win the Champions League.
Okay.
But the point is there, Toby, Pochettino is not even world-class, right? He's not.
Say no more.
Is he Saeed?
Say no more, man. No, listen, I don't need to debate anymore. I've said my opinion.
Oh, you do, though.
I'm not here. Because you know what it is? You know what it is, yeah? When there's something positive... When there's something positive about Man United, you're trying to make this kind of a negative story.
No, I'm not.
Do what you want to do. No, but if you do what you want to do, make it a negative spin. And for me, I'm going to enjoy
not negative. Just saying. I'm just asking, is Pochettino world-class?
I'm okay.
Because now that he's going to be...
I'm all right.
Last week, when he wasn't...
I can decide when that is.
And you were looking at Ten Hag, you would have been able to
it's about what's available, Matisse. You address everything when it's availability.
You would have been able to analyse Pochettino with a clear mind, and it would have been, you know, no bias.
Do you know I wanted Pochettino last year as well? I wanted Pochettino last
I know you
year
wanted
well.
Pochettino, yeah. And I wanted Pochettino at Chelsea.
I was going to say, you wanted him at Chelsea.
So I rate Pochettino.
Yeah, you wanted, exactly. Pochettino, but, you know, world class. Different person, isn't it? Different situation for United, isn't it? Now it changes tune, but yeah.
No. I literally said at the start of the show, I rate Pochettino. But I'm asking you, is he world class?
Listen, I don't need to answer that.
All right, then don't answer it. For me, all that goes to show is that you don't want to look at this just in a calm way. You want to just do a hype thing, which is fine. But I'm just saying, for Pochettino, there's issues at PSG that Pochettino has not been able to figure out yet, which is fair enough. It takes time. Messi, you know, Mbappe, Neymar, etc. And I'm just saying that with all of the profiles in your team, You're comparing yourself to Chelsea, but Chelsea didn't have a mismatch of profiles. We had an attack that wasn't doing the business, so he compensated it by making a good structure with the defense. We had a lot of young players that were easy to take instruction. He spoke about that when he left PSG with all of the influences that they have at Messi, Neymar, all the politics. And who in that Chelsea team provides any politics? There's none. All I'm saying is that Pochettino has struggled at PSG to handle that politics. He's now going to have to go to Manchester United and handle more politics. There is politics there, whether you guys want to admit it or not. And it's going to take time. And yeah, I don't.
But you know what?
You're probably going to make top
Toby,
four.
Toby, can I just say something to that?
Yeah, go on.
Pochettino, I'm not expecting the worst when I know already the football structure at Man United is bad anyway. So, at the end of the day, I know there's not going to be a wave kind of, you know, there's going to be one. Man United are brilliant again. There's bigger pictures anyway, I know, from the football structure. I'm asking more for the football structure rather than Pochettino, because the football structure needs to help Pochettino as well. So, at the end of the day, when you're saying about the characters and all that, yeah, the football structure, Edward and all them, they need to help out as well. So, it's not all just down to Pochettino. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Toby, sorry.
Yeah, and Matisse, don't you think, though, that Man United also have players that Pochettino can work with and mould as well? Greenwood, Sancho,
yeah, of course.
Marcus Rashford, Donny van der Beek. Steve may not like him, but Donny van der Beek is a very good player who's waiting to be unleashed as well. Like, Pochettino, we're talking... Yes, Pochettino isn't... He's not Pep. He's not Jurgen Klopp. He's not a world-class manager. But me, personally, I'm sick of the disrespect that this guy gets, because... This guy had us punching above our weight with a fraction of the budget as well. He is known for getting the best out of underperforming players. He makes bad players look better, and he makes good players look exceptional. So, yes, Man United squad isn't perfect. It isn't perfect. They've got
what squad is perfect though, Toby? What squad is perfect?
That's what I'm saying. It isn't perfect, but Thomas Tuchel, Matisse, look how well he's done at Chelsea. He didn't walk into a perfect squad. A lot of the players that... Some of the players that he's using right now, your fans wanted them out. We literally spoke about Rudiger, how he needed to be out the door in January. We spoke about 100%. Christensen, soft touch. We spoke about so many of these players, and they've had a new lease of life under manager. Why? Because the manager knows how to work well with players. He knows how to get the maximum out of these players. And this is something that Pochettino specializes in. So who's to say he doesn't go to Man United and become a success? Man United need a manager.
I'm not talking about him being a success. I'm talking about the time period that you're talking about it getting done in. I think it's going to take longer.
I'm not backing Saeed with the Champions League this season. I think that's too much too soon.
No, but I said contending for that, though. That's all I said.
Yeah, fair enough. But what I'm saying is that Man United squad, on paper, should be doing damage. That Man United squad should be going far in the Champions League. That Man United squad should be doing damage in the Premier League. It should be. The fact that they're not is an indictment of how bad Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has been this season and how bad some of those players have been.
That's all I said.
Simple. It's that simple.
Let's see if they make it out of their group first anyway. You've got to get through the group with the interim first.
They should be topping that group. And that, again, embarrassment again. They should be topping that group. They shouldn't be struggling to Villarreal at home. They shouldn't be scraping past an Atalanta side with like half their first team players missing, but they have, because they're not being coached well enough, and some of their players are not as good as they're made out to be.
Yeah, it's not the first manager that's, you know, it's the thing with Man United. It's with Pochettino. Don't get me wrong. When Arsenal needed a manager after Emery, I actually wanted Pochettino. I think the way you man dipped him halfway through the season after he got you Champions League final, I thought to myself, you know, he might have a bit of revenge on the cards. He might want to come and win something down there, but it wasn't to be. But I don't see I don't know if Man United is going to be that fit, because he worked well under what the Tottenham board is. The Man United board's different. Yeah, they'll give him a bit more money. And when you have more money, not a bit more, a lot more. When you have a lot more money, there's a lot more pressure. And he hasn't proven that, it's true. And the super chat here says, if we're being honest, Poch is not a world-class manager. If anything, Ten Hag's Zidane would fit this current group of players. The board only want Poch because he's another top four only guy, because it's all business. And I think Boogeyman said that was Tuchel world-class before he joined Chelsea. Exactly. And that's a good point as well.
Can I ask a question? So the Zidane one, totally get it. Zidane has done way more than Pochettino in less time at the highest level. Fair enough. Zidane, you want to call him a world-class coach? Fine. Call him better than Pochettino? Fine. What's the evidence to suggest that's Ten Hag? And I like Ten Hag. I wanted him at Spurs. I still rate him highly. But what's the evidence to suggest that Ten Hag can go to Man United and be more of a success than Pochettino? What's that based on? Where's the evidence to suggest that? Because he plays better... prettier football for Ajax. He's never managed a team outside of the Eredivisie. He's never managed a team in a top five league. He's never done it. But yet, it's a foregone conclusion that he's going to go to Man United and do better than Pochettino. This is what I'm saying. Like, if you want to analyse Poch, be fair. Steve and Matisse have made some really good points in their analysis. But when I hear stuff like that, you have to come with some sort of a reasonable argument as to why.
Well, 2 years ago, me and you stood in Croydon just after you lost the Champions
League. Yeah, but Steve, I'm not criticizing you.
For the sake of the chat, because they think I hate Pochettino because now he's United. But didn't I tell you then that I did not rate Pochettino?
Yeah, you. This isn't a recency bias when you've never really rated him, but I've always had my arguments with you as to why you should rate him. But I will happily vouch for you that this isn't a hating thing or whatever. It's just been your
game. I hope he goes to Man United. My personal hope is that he goes to Man United. I hope that.
Grizz, anything blessed?
Gandalf,
he's waiting for Liverpool after, bro.
We haven't even heard a word from you yet.
No, I'm here, man. I'm here. I'm right here. I was just waiting for tea. I was cold, innit? Like, I'm warming up.
He's warming up for you, Turkish, I think. That's what he's saying.
But yeah, now the opinions are all
Saeed, man. You need to relax.
Yeah, you know what? I think we've given too much importance to United's situation. United are dead food. We've spent way too much time on dead food. Like, they're really, really finished. Like, they're really in the doldrums. And I thought today we're going to be happy for our brother Saeed, because that's the first and foremost thing. Look, he's gone through a lot of shit, and we should just be happy for him. What happens now is in the hands of the directors and the owners, and we hope they carry on making stupid decisions, and they hope they make, you know, they hope they fuck up the club even more. Like, the interim to the interim to the interim. Fuck that. You know what I mean? I'm just here. I thought it was a celebration for Saeed. I'm a little bit disappointed in Matisse and Steve. Like, you're slightly, like, I don't know, on edge about United, like, having a decent or better manager than Ole in. So, you know, let him celebrate. Let him be happy for, because he's not been happy, has he, for a little while, since
Chris,
January.
What are you drinking there, mate? What are you drinking? Last January.
You know him.
Great. This is the guy that keeps saying Shai Havertz, you know what I'm saying?
I hear all that.
Been calling Tuchel Van Gaal, and now suddenly now.
I hear all that.
You know what? I've given praise to Tuchel.
Look, he doesn't help himself. He doesn't help himself. We know that, right? And Skullthuggery earns a living off him.
Trust me, he earns a living off me, mate.
No, just him. Just him. So, you know what I mean? It's time to move on. Let's crack on. We know it's a shambles. We know it's a fucking... The fact, people, that they haven't got... I can't remember which one of you brothers mentioned it. That they should have had a contingency plan from the end of last season. If we don't get the start that we're expecting, which was a title challenge, we need to fuck this guy out. And they've waited until near enough Christmas, and they still weren't going to do it, people. Don't get it twisted. You know, people were saying, "Oh, he was going to lose. He was going to lose his job even before Watford." He wasn't. They were still trying to cling on. And the proof of that is that they haven't got a plan now. The proof of that, there is no man to step in straight away. They're going through 3-4 different people. So look, long may it continue, but the misery of our brother is over. That's the main thing.
That's it.
I'm rooting for you.
I wouldn't
say it's over yet. Let's wait and see, man.
Now we'll wait until it comes, because Carrick, you never know when Carrick might not be gone. You know what I mean? We don't know yet. It's not gone, but we're just giving the hypothetical argument that he does.
Michael Carrick is your manager. Fucking hell. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, man. That's why I said
there were some big games, man. We need to talk about the games, man. There were some big games. It's
true still. let's before we move on, people, 4.4K in the building. Hit the like button if you haven't already. Let's get it. Is it over 1K yet? If it's not, get it over 1K as usual.
It's embarrassing if it ain't. It's embarrassing if it ain't over 1K. That 30 minutes was, that was therapeutic for
Saeed. Fire, bro.
And Skullfuggery's got clips for days for Saeed. That's 2 years worth of clips there. So people, come on, man. Yeah, you got to hit the like button, people. Yeah, and obviously, subscribe to the rest of the man here and get Tobes to 5K before the show ends, man. That's the plan. I think we've all hit 5K, but Tobes, get him over the line as well. Keep it moving for everyone. And I will mention it, the Big Six channel. Still a few days of November left. It will launch this month. Skullfuggery, you know, I'm looking at you over there. The first video will be obviously a year recap by an extended version. So make sure your notifications are on as well.
That's worth the subscription right there.
Yeah, so you can get the first view and the first comment in the bag as well. And that will kick off the channel. Obviously, like Grizz said, a few big results around the league. Obviously, Conte got his first win. Man City smashed Everton. Chelsea cruised past Leicester, I think. Yeah, and that's where to go on to. Chelsea cruising past Leicester.
It was a good performance. It's pretty complete, to be honest. Start to finish, back to front. A lot of people tagging me in Grizz's comments on 90 Minute. They're not happy. They're not happy, Grizz, with those comments.
You should they shouldn't worry about me. They should worry about their team. I said it. People, you know what? You know what it's like, Matisse. They take out one line, right? Was a tongue in cheek, right? But I said it afterwards. That was your best performance of the season, in my opinion. You know your team better. Yeah, maybe better performances. In my opinion, that was your best performance.
Yeah, I think it was probably up there, maybe top two, top three. And again, this is what I keep saying, is that, you know, Chelsea are not a counter-attacking team. You see the way that we moved the ball from back to front. I thought the defense were excellent. You know, Thiago Silva, again, 37 years of age. The guy is just like
elite,
unbelievable. Rolls-Royce defender, honestly. Positioning, like top-notch. Rudiger, again, new contract needs to be sorted for him, because the way that he's been playing, the block that he made in the first half was ridiculous. But if you watch the way Chelsea moved the ball from back to front in that first half, well, both halves really, you can't say, you know, anybody's counterattacking here, because they literally just dominate possession. I don't think Leicester had a shot in the first half at all. So just defensively solid, scored some goals, you know, and did the business. It's not really too much more to say. We just keep moving. Hopefully setting pace at the top and
but that's what I said, isn't it? That's where the boring bit comes in, isn't it? That's why I get the boring bit, because whoever's at the top, when it was City, people say, oh, they're boring almost because they keep winning. When it was us, do you remember? Every time we took a lead, it don't look like we're going to concede, so we were boring. Right. Same with Chelsea, man. Chelsea fans get, look, it's no problem. Like, tag me in tweets and have a go at me. It's not a problem. I'm here. My shoulders are broad. I'm here for this shit. You know what I mean? But, you know what I mean? Put into context, all three big teams, as I said, after international break, will start stepping on the gas. And you guys were the first one to step on the gas this weekend, and the others followed.
From what you're seeing, though, do you think they have the potential to keep pace at the top? Because I know... I know
Steve doesn't. I've always said you do. Mm. But the key question I put for today's, we call it masala in my language. Yeah, masala means a bit of spice. This week's spice
is a nice spice.
This week's spice is, Matisse, and I don't know what you brothers think, right? You've been free scoring in the last few weeks. Free scoring, like goals, like seven. How much did you score? Three on the weekend, four on the weekend?
Three the weekend, yeah.
Three, and you've scored three before as well and whatnot. Free scoring, you're suddenly fluid in attack. Even though you haven't got a recognised striker at the moment. Shai Havertz, as Saeed fondly calls him, right? He's playing in that fourth role. What happens when the big man that you spent 100 million comes back now for fitness? Is there a question in your head? Like, does he walk back in? Because the way you're playing, it looks like you're slicing teams open, but you wasn't. You wasn't in the first 5-6 weeks. You wasn't slicing teams open. You was more methodical. And I said it at the time. This is where I big up Chelsea a little bit. I said it. He's doing the right thing. He's making you hard to fucking beat. And then as the season progresses, he's going to work out his attacking policy. He's got a little bit of a question, I think, what he does with Lukaku. Because you're playing fantastic football now. Does Lukaku step back in?
Yeah.
I think a big reason as to why the attack is fluid is because of Hudson-Odoi. I think, you know, the guy may not have put up goals and assists at the weekend, but if you watched his performance, dropping into the half space, connecting the dots, getting on the ball, coming in central, getting around players, he's the person that's been able to retain possession for Chelsea and make them a lot more smoother in attack and stop, you know, the pointless turnovers in attack when really we should be keeping the ball and having better decision making. So I think if we're going to get the best out of Lukaku, we need to keep a winger that has created, before this match, the most chances for Chelsea this season, despite playing the bulk of those games at right wing back. And then some of those games, minutes wise, he's not really played that many minutes in comparison to some others. He's only just starting to catch up now. Keep him in the team and then, you know, again, keep working on Lukaku and you should be able to hopefully get it together. But
it's an interesting one from looking from the outside.
Yeah.
As your enemy, hoping that you fall down somewhere. I think it's interesting because you wasn't as fluid in attack with Lukaku as you are without him. I don't know what the rest of you guys think.
I agree 100%. But if Lukaku comes back in and you know, slots in better than he did at the start, well, He started off well, but it kind of
it's a different way of playing with him, Turkish man. Havertz plays totally different to how Lukaku plays.
It is, but I feel like they can work in a system. I honestly do.
Yeah, I don't think the issue is Lukaku coming back into the team, because I don't know what Matisse thinks, but I don't think Havertz is playing well for Chelsea. I don't think he's doing anything extraordinary for Chelsea.
I've had mixed responses from Chelsea.
He's pressing.
He's playing the system for Tommy.
Yeah, it's very much like people don't recognize what Bobby does, but Bobby does a role for Liverpool. No, but even if we're talking link play, like there were a couple moments where Havertz is
the touch
with players, but he's not really. I don't think he's making that much of an impact on the way Chelsea's playing to warrant Lukaku struggling when he comes back into this team. I think he goes straight back in. If you're looking at me in terms of how Chelsea have improved, I think they did create chances earlier on, but players like Reece James, Azpilicueta was starting the first couple of matches this season. Since Reece James has come back into the team, look how much he's offering him on that right-hand side. And then, like Matisse said, Mr. 1v1 Demon, he's making a difference. I do think the difference is a bit overstated, but I know the Chelsea fans will jump on my throat, but he's making a difference nevertheless. And he's doing something which the likes of Pulisic, Werner, who else you lot got there? Ziyech, they haven't done this season. So I don't see this being a struggle for Lukaku to come back into the team. I think he walks back into this team, and I think he'll be happy to see the likes of Callum Martin-Odoi and Reece James on either side.
The only time we've seen Reece James and Lukaku is against Arsenal, and they set each other up, you know? And if you look at the start of the season, we were mainly playing Alonso. Alonso is nowhere near as fluid and makes the same runs at the same pace that Chilwell does. If you look at that game, the way Chilwell was making runs from the left-hand side, he was almost running centrally like an inverted winger. He was making runs that were mad from that side constantly. Jorginho picked him out one time. Jorginho picked out Kante another time in that first half. The runs that is being made from the wingbacks is crucial. So I think when you get the delivery from Reece James, who's stat padding up his statistics this season, you get Chilwell as well over the Alonso's, over the Azpilicuetas, who are a little bit more rigid and slower, then you should be able to get Lukaku doing more. And I've said it before, Lukaku, I still believe his build-up play and his hold-up play and his general play has improved vastly since last time he was in the Premier League. And that Arsenal game, I know the opposition defence wasn't a great example because obviously Gabriel wasn't playing, etc. But I can see Lukaku personally, technically, will be better than a lot of people are going to give him credit for. And that shows with the amount of assists that he got in Serie A last season. You don't get that many assists from being a dead footballer who can't do the basics, doesn't have a touch, doesn't do this, doesn't do that. So for me, you know, time will tell, but I think Lukaku, when he comes back in, probably for Kai, who hasn't scored enough goals for me, people will see that we do play better with him once he's gelled up with the rest of the team.
I just think as well, Chelsea just got to keep the momentum going. If they're playing well as they're playing now without Lukaku, keep that same side, because there's going to be games where you're going to need Lukaku. So he's a good option to have. So if they start games now with what they're starting with, and they can't get
through, they'll fall off.
In my opinion, I think they will. But what I'm saying is, from an outside looking in, they're playing well now without him. Don't just because he's fit throw him back in and change it. If you're winning, keep it going, because there's going to be times where they're going to come up against teams and they're not going to be able to pick the lock. And then you can bring Lukaku off the bench. And I guarantee you,
he'll score a win off the bench.
You know what I mean? He's a great option to have. Listen, we're going to have the problem soon with Grealish, because Grealish he cost us 100 million and he's been out of the team. Foden's playing well on the left. Bernardo, people are kicking into gear. Now, you know what I mean? Grealish is going to be like, right, okay. And he's probably going to get benched, but there's going to be games where he's going to come on and influence the game. And listen, you know yourself, when you're going for the title, you've just got to keep the momentum going. There's no point chopping and changing because you paid 100 million for a striker and he's got to be in the team. If you're winning, keep the same team, keep winning. And then look, if he comes off the bench, scores the goals, and then gets himself back in the side.
Yeah.
But again, the other players have to do it, innit?
The thing with Chelsea, though, is that when they go 1-0 up, I think it's finished for teams, man, because they're so good defensively, you know, and that's the, you know, that's the problem with Chelsea. You know, you go 1-0 down to them. Are you coming back from that? You know, they're resolute. They're very, very resolute.
It's pissing me off. I need to start, when we do these predictions, I need to start actually just predicting with my head and not out of hate, because
same, man. I don't know why I didn't top them.
It's literally costing me points.
Points in what?
Yeah.
The prediction league.
Yeah, but don't even talk to me about that.
Man. Yeah, let's not even discuss
that. You know what's mad? I knew Leicester weren't going to win. I knew it, but because Tielemans, he played what 60 something games consecutively. He was out, and they've been dog for the past couple weeks. Like I knew they weren't going to win.
Leicester are bad. You know.
You know what it is? It's just the hate, man. When the hate don't work, they start telling lies. That's me. That was me last week.
Got a few super chats in there. Let me get them in. SB says people judge Lukaku in attack when he had Aspi and Alonso as wing backs and no Callum Hudson-Odoi in attack. Lukaku slots straight back in with these wing backs and tens. Ken says hopefully Lukaku adopts a bit of Kai's movement. Staying so central is why he was asked at United. He's best when he's roaming around the final third. Matthew said Chilwell and James coming is the reason. And Najib says it's not solely on Havertz, Chris. Tuchel's evolved our wing backs to invert inside and help create more options for the midfielders. Lukaku is the icing. And very keep hating, Colts. Keep very hating. Good. We love it.
This point is very good about the inverted fullbacks playing as midfielders. And that's another argument for another day, for another show. Maybe Matisse will invite me on his channel to address the role of fullbacks and wingbacks.
Let's go.
No. I'm just saying that Chelsea fan actually nailed it. Very, very good. So thank you for the super chat, bro. But you nailed it at the same time.
They're enjoying the Trent versus Cancelo versus James debate a lot.
It's a great chat. It's a great chat. It's what football's about. It's pure Barclays.
We'll get that sorted.
Say no more. I only make sense from one 3-0 to another 3-0. Man City, Everton, Steve.
Are we really doing this, Turkish?
Are you doing it?
I don't think that was the running.
Come on.
It's always you down here. You see that one down here?
Steve, be gracious, please. Come on.
I'm always gracious, bro.
No. I'm saying, Steve, please be gracious and just say, like, let's talk about Man City afterward, but let's talk about another game. Please.
Yeah, let's talk
about
another game.
You know what's funny? You, man, get your first win under your new manager. And I know what you want to talk about, us. That shows levels in North London alone. Regardless of 4-0 against Liverpool, your new manager that you're swinging over your head about got his first win, and you want to talk about Arsenal. So talk about Arsenal.
You know what's mad? Yeah, like, your result was the big result of the weekend. You got pumped 4-0. It was the biggest match of the weekend. And two, you got pasted 4-0. It is literally outside
the
predicted
the score, by the way. You predicted that score.
Steve, I swear, I'm so badly wanted to see a red tomato.
Are you telling me Watford smashing United wasn't the real headline of the weekend?
No, I said outside of the Ollie stuff, your match was the biggest, bro.
Cool, let's go. Who goes first?
It's his team.
Wow. Toby's enjoying himself, man.
Look, it's one of those, you know how kids look forward to Christmas or Diwali or Eid. Yeah, it's because we're cultural here, isn't it? We're all multicultural crowd, multicultural us. And how we look forward to it, we remember, right? Arsenal at home is one of those occasions where you just wait for that Eid and the presents and opening up and just celebrating. And it's a time of festive spirit. You know, it doesn't matter where they are, doesn't matter where we are in the league, doesn't matter who's injured, who's in form. They came off a back of 10 games unbeaten, I think it was, Turkish. And we spoke during the week. And we came off a couple of bad results. West Ham bullied us. Yeah, I'm saying how it is, yeah? So that first 20 minutes was indicative of that. You could tell the confidence they brought into the team, the slight lack of confidence from Liverpool. But after that 30 minutes, where, don't get me wrong, you looked good. You looked solid. We see the new Arsenal, saw light at the end of the tunnel. I've been speaking about this light that certain Arsenal fans couldn't see, but I could see, right? Some of them saw that light. But then, like, your manager, I thought his selection was as good as it could get. I mean, I thought the selection of, what's his name? Tavares. I told you in midweek as well, Turkish. I said, I don't care. You need to pick Tierney because that Tavares will cost you. And I said, Lokonga will cost you. And those two were key in the end. Look, Arteta tried to pick beef with the wrong man in the wrong crowd in the wrong world. Like, you don't come to Anfield, which is your graveyard. We bury you at Anfield. You don't come to graveyard and dance around on your graveyard because that's bad vibes. That's bad karma, right? Who does shit like that? Mad people do that. It riled up Klopp. It riled up the fan base. Suddenly, Anfield was a cauldron, man. And then when we raised it, fucking hell, we raised it. I'd say that last 10 minutes of the first half and the 45 minutes that ensued afterwards was our best performance as well. Just like I said, Chelsea's was against Leicester. Man City coasted it. We'll talk about Man City later. But I thought Liverpool were fucking insane in that second half. Like, we just didn't let you breathe anywhere on the pitch. And, you know, if you want me to pick out players that need or deserve a mention, Fabinho, I was a bit, remember guys, I was a bit critical of Fabinho against West Ham. I thought he looked a bit leggy and a bit sluggish, but he ate up Aubameyang and Lacazette, like both of them. He left Matip and Virgil with nothing to do. Like, that's how good Fabinho was. And, you know, the performance of Salah, you need to see him in real life. One of you, Steve saw him because he went to see the City-Liverpool game, but he's playing Ballon d'Or football week in, week out, regardless of whether we win or we don't. Mohamed Salah is playing Ballon d'Or football week in, week out, and it's a sight to behold at the moment, people. But yeah, in the end, it could have been, Turkish was there, we all saw it, it could have been 7-8, people. It could have been 7-8. But we relaxed at 4. We forgave them.
Do you know why I went for the 4-0? You know why I went for the 4-0, right? And people was like, messaging me, no, they're not going to get beat 4-0 and all that. But I went to the game Anfield, right? I went to the game at Stamford Bridge, and the intensity both them games were played at was like high level. And I'm talking high level. And if you don't match Chelsea or match Liverpool the same intensity, you ain't going to get anything. And I've been watching Arsenal, and yeah, they've been doing all right. And I just thought, can Arsenal match Liverpool at Anfield, like Chris spoke about, with the crowd? Because that crowd, when it gets up, it causes a reaction from their team. And they raise the level like mad, and then City went toe to toe with it, and we calmed them back down. And I thought, if they do that against Arsenal, it's going to be a bit of a rout. And after 30 odd minutes or something, I thought, crowd was a bit flat.
It was.
But Arteta kicking off with Klopp, he's the worst thing. Like Gris,
footballing suicide. It was suicide.
That's good. And you know what? I used to go on a madden for 10 minutes, and then the game was lost. Then and like,
but Steve, you know what? Klopp exaggerated that even more, right? Because I don't even blame Arteta. Every manager has the right to defend his team, his players, whatever. Yeah,
I seen Klopp with his hands on his ears and all that. Yeah, so he knows what he's doing.
Klopp knew exactly what he was doing. He wasn't getting the response from his players. We were flat as a team. We were passing it sideways, backwards. Matip, Virgil, and Trent had the most touches in that first 20-30 minutes. They didn't look a threat, but they looked okay. They quietened the crowd. What's the rule every fucking manager tells their team when you come to Anfield? Quieten the crowd. Chelsea quietened the crowd when they came in that first half. City totally quietened that crowd in the first half. These guys nearly managed it. Nearly. But when you've done that, oh, Lord.
I don't think Arsenal's got anything to, you know what I mean, to be, like, shameful about. They begin on a run. They went to Anfield. They got beat.
Free hit, man.
Just move on. Just keep going now. Like I say,
don't say the word free hit.
Liverpool shown the class again, and like you say, for me this season, Liverpool, City, and Chelsea, there's no one matches them.
I said it after the international breaks. All three of our teams are gonna go, like, leave the West Hams and the Uniteds. You know what I mean? And the Spurs.
Yeah, definitely. United.
Yeah, we are. We 100% we are, and it proves so, because each one of our results was as impressive as the other. City had the easier game, but still they were, you know, barely laid a finger on them as well. I don't know if you want to say something about Arsenal. Sorry, Turkish. I've said enough about Liverpool.
No, I'm good, you know.
No.
You're the ref anyway.
Say something.
He's trying to say you're the ref anyway.
Brother, say something, innit, brother? Say something.
Do you want me to say a couple things?
It's coming up to injury time, and sometimes people have to sacrifice their voice on this show to make sure it finishes on time, and I'm going to be that person.
First time, Turkish is worried about the time.
And the mummy as well, man. I thought he was the best player for Liverpool, man. I thought he was he was rampant, man, on that.
So Tobes, it was typical Mane of the last 18 months. That first half, he was the worst player on the pitch, Tobes. I'm not joking you. He was the worst player. Before he scored, he was the worst player on the pitch. But that second half was the Mane that I've been seeing for the last two, three seasons, where he's unplayable. Like, he keeps coming back at you. He's strong as an ox. He's fast. He's decisive. But trust me, that first 30 minutes was hoggly.
Tomiyasu
done a decent job on him. Tomiyasu done a decent job on him in that first 30 minutes. But again, maybe that was that yellow card and he got riled and he got angry. Again, he's another one of those players that you don't fucking get angry. Angry Mane is dangerous. And that second half, they all were. Like, did you see them? Did you see the way we pressed? Like, that was the total.
You were suffocating.
Yeah. You know when people talk about organized pressing and it's how counter pressing and how it's just about running around, like Toby claimed a couple of weeks back? Nah, man. We showed as a team that's a coached, properly coached pressing.
What did I claim? Sorry? What?
You said something about how Allardyce can do the same shit or something.
Allardyce? Why would that?
Man just took a sip of drink after that, you know, just lit the flame and just
made that up.
Yeah. Did you see Tavares's quote? By the way,
he's quote. No, I haven't. No,
yeah, he was misquoted. Apparently, he was misquoted.
Was he misquoted? All right,
He was misquoted.
I heard. Did you hear Trent? Trent goes, it was a red blur for them, and that's what it was. Trent said afterwards, he goes, they were seeing red blurs everywhere, and that's how we done it.
Turkish, can we talk about some of your players though? Because, like, I actually agree with Steve that, I mean, the 4-0 is a bit of a high.
It's muted.
Wow. I was thinking that.
If there's any team
not on it today, fam. He's not feeling any of this.
If there's any team you're going to get pasted 4-0 in against, then fair enough. Liverpool would be one of those teams at Anfield. But a couple of your players definitely hid. And I want to talk about a player who I really like in your team, Thomas Partey. I asked my boy, like, 75, 80 minutes in, is Partey actually playing? I didn't even clock that he was playing. He was absent, ghost.
50 million.
Wagwan, do you not have anything? You don't have any criticisms of his performance, Aubameyang?
Yeah, I do. Those are the men that you've said the right men. You've said the right men because we've only got a few men in the side. And by that, I mean experience, been there, done that, you know, played throughout Europe and whatnot. We've only got a few of them. Oba, Laka, Partey. I think Laka, you get what you get from Laka. We know now he's not the goal scorer he once was at Lyon. He's going to hold up play. He's going to, you know, win you fouls, potentially penalties and whatnot. Cool. I don't expect much from Laka. With Oba and Partey, I do expect. And Partey, cool. Like, obviously, it's his second season. He hasn't really found consistency. That's not an excuse because coming from a Simeone Atletico side, I expect much, much, much better from Partey. When he first come, I saw him as a future captain, potentially. And I still do. Obviously, Tierney's in that conversation too. And with Oba, listen, when Arteta... I've said this before. What Arteta did on the sideline, yeah? If this was the Arsenal side of 2004 and he had those players and Arteta did that, I'm all for it. Yeah. It makes sense because you've got players on the pitch that, you know, they'd look at that and they'd be motivated by it. Whereas when you look at Arsenal versus Liverpool on the weekend and the lineup, it was men against boys, especially when you look at the ages, the experience Liverpool have and what Liverpool have won over the years. That sort of touchline antic is only going to spur on one side, really. But you still would have thought you saw something from Oba. Even when he had that one shot on goal, it was a tame effort. What I call it is, when Oba had that one shot on target, that's the sort of finish I expect from Eddie Nketiah or even a Balogun coming through, you know. But not from a 300k a week player. Not from a star man. Not from a guy that's banged goals across Europe. I expect better than that, but he just wanted to get it on target. And that shows me where he is. And not only that, he was dropping all game. He wasn't using his pace in that first half. Liverpool had us camped in the first half. He was doing well. But when Emil Smith Rowe, Lokonga, Partey got it in the middle, we had no outlet because Lacazette drops. But for some reason, Oba was dropping as well against Liverpool. So as much as I agree, Partey didn't have a far from a good game. Emil Smith Rowe, far from a good game. Sambi was poor. But at the end of the day, I saw them 5-6 times minimum look up centrally and see no one in attack. And I look at Oba and he's dropping in instead of peeling off. Those sort of things, it's become the norm now. A lot of fans are now praising Oba for working hard and stuff like that. Listen, I'm not hearing that. You can't give a contract like that out to a player and then say, yeah, he's working hard. And I know I'll face some flack for saying he's Mesut Ozil 2.0. Don't get me wrong. Mesut Ozil signed that contract and stopped trying on the pitch. I get that. But Oba, he does try. But when I say Mesut Ozil 2.0, I mean signs a big contract, doesn't live up to it. That was facts with Ozil, and right now is facts with Oba, and he's only got a year and a half left of it. But in reality, Arsenal need to sort it out.
Can I just ask the rest of the brothers here, because all knowledge brothers here, yeah? So me and Turkish done a little combined 11, yeah, on my channel the other day, yeah? And it was the Invincibles and versus the Mentality Monsters Klopp, yeah? And you know what? It was a close call. We were deliberating. It was fucking mad tight, yeah? Two
what do you call them, by the way? Mentality Monsters. You call them Mentality Monsters.
Yeah. That's not the point now. Like, don't hook me up.
I was just thinking.
Yeah, roast me later for that. I'm just saying, innit? Yeah. Because we want to move on. But there was 2 points that we couldn't agree on. Two players. It was Gilberto and Fabinho and Mane and Pires at their peaks. I just want your guys' opinion because it was a wicked debate.
Can I just say your Conroy actually voted for Pires? I just want to say that one.
I just want their opinion in it.
You won.
I'm just saying. I'm saying Fabinho at his best, Gilberto at his best, Gilberto Silva, and it was Mane and Pires at his best. Remember best.
Best, yeah. I'm picking Pires over Mane. I think Pires was ridiculous. I'm picking Fabinho over Gilberto.
Steve-O?
I'd go both Arsenal men, Pires and Gilberto.
Yeah. Same. Zaid? I think for me, Pires was unbelievable. I think Gilberto, I look at him and the way he used to perform, he was a monster. Fabinho, good, but
Fabinho, good. Okay, yeah, pass on.
No, I'm just saying in terms of Gilberto.
Move on. Fabinho, did you say Fabinho?
No, but I'm saying in terms of your.
Why get me angry for?
Why are you so defensive, man? I'm surprised that you're doing these comparisons, by the way.
I was here for you today. I was here for you today. I'm rooting for you. And you just went around and done Fabinho. I'm angry now, innit, Matisse?
I keep telling you all of these.
Yeah, you did. You did tell me.
You keep doing this. Always going to waste.
Yeah, you did. You did tell me.
It's definitely Pires. I think it's tough, man. I think because Fabinho, I've seen Fabinho centre back, man.
Brazil won the World Cup in 2002 with Gilberto.
I was going to say that.
Fabinho won the Champions League. Gilberto didn't. Fabinho plays right back for Brazil. Fabinho's played centre back.
Gilberto banked penalties in for fun.
And you lot looking at Sadio Mane, like brushed off Sadio Mane, like 100 Premier League goals without a penalty.
It shouldn't be brushed off, man.
Don't get hurt. You're the one
that's hurt. You're getting hurt. I told you, he's getting hurt, man.
Invincibles are special, man. Come on.
I'm definitely backing
you with Fabinho over Gilberto.
Cool.
I think Fabinho, when it's all said and done in the Premier League, yes, Gilberto Silva has the Invincibles.
Two seasons. Fabinho.
Can I just say,
Fabinho's going to be able to say more than.
Yeah. I'm surprised you've done this comparison.
I'd probably agree with that.
You know why?
Fabinho is actually bonkers, bro. Like,
positional versatility is always is a big.
And also, Riz, I'm surprised you've done this because Mane can still get better. I think Fabinho can still get better.
We compared the Invincibles to the 1920 season.
I see.
That was the comparisons, isn't it? So,
but yeah, I just wanted to just because it was a great, great chat. That was the two ones we couldn't agree on. The rest we all agreed on.
Fair enough.
Ah, cool.
Can we do a 99 one as well?
You happy, Toby? All good, yeah. We got a super chat.
That's content there, Saeed.
I hate coming here after Arsenal lose. These guys are like so on injury, but love for the love. I hope our days will come. Hopefully they come back. Hopefully they do. But for now, I'm going to have to try and move on from Arsenal as quickly as possible on the big six. Next, Man City 3-0. Steve, normal business.
We just took care of it. It was another training session, to be honest. You know, no De Bruyne. He's obviously got COVID, so he was out. Grealish was injured. He started Sterling on the right, which was good to see. He played really well, Sterling. Can't fault him. He looked a bit more confident on the right than he has been before. He gave Lucas Digne a terrible time down there. I think the surprise of the game was playing young Cole Palmer at a false nine. I really like this kid. I think he's got something about him. I think he's a great talent. To get in that Manchester City team as well, at his age, is credit to him. He's come out of nowhere. The game sort of passed him by a little bit at nine because he's not got the intensity of a Foden or a De Bruyne, but he made up for it with he was very clever. He was making a lot of runs, pulling defenders around, creating space for everyone. Bernardo Silva, same again. You know what I mean? But the man of the moment, the guy we spoke about in the chat, was Rodri. I mean, he's come in a couple of seasons. Some City fans weren't having him. You know what I mean? They were saying he was side-to-side, backwards player, very negative. And he was, you know what I mean? But he shadowed Fernandinho. He's watched how he does it. And this season, he's just took his game to the next level. I mean, he's got everything to be one of the best. He's got the passing. He's getting about the pitch more. He's tackling, shooting. I mean, the goal, unbelievable goal. You know what I mean? Smashed it, top bins. He's enjoying his football. The City team at the minute, the whole team seems to be enjoying the football. It's a joy to watch. You can see it. There's a real buzz around the team. They're all working hard for each other. And no, at the minute, it's great to watch. Like you say, we've got a tough game against Paris coming up on Wednesday. We played really well in Paris, but we got beat. We owe them one. And as far as the Premier League goes, Everton, they came with a physical lineup as well. Delph was in there. Alan was in there. Richarlison's aggressive. They didn't lay a glove on us. They didn't rattle us. But you know what? People say that, oh, they didn't do this, they didn't do that. But I don't think City let them. I think they were chasing shadows. It was a bit like United at Old Trafford. They were just dead. We're collecting souls at the minute. We're taking team souls. We're literally toying with them the hard way. And that's not me being arrogant. It's plain to see. Anyone watching the game will see that City's got another couple of gears. And at the minute, like I say, another young kid got some minutes at the end, James McAtee. He's been linked with United and Liverpool because he's not signed his contract. So I think Pep's giving him a little taster. Hopefully get him to sign a deal. But yeah, routine at the office for City. Another great win. And I'm just keep the ball rolling and just moving on to Paris now Wednesday.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I watched a bit of it in the first half as well, and I see Iwobi nearly got free down the left hand side. Then he clocked Kyle Walker was the guy. Yeah.
Anyone apart from Kyle Walker, and that was a player through. But Iwobi,
see Cancelo's assist.
Yes. Yeah, Steve, can I say it's the assist of the season so far? Even though
Trent's, you know what, the guy is taking his game to the next level. He's playing out of position, but he's doing things madness. And I watched an interview in the week with Jack Grealish and Foden, and one of the questions that Grealish was asked from a supporter was, "Who surprised you the most at Man City when you went into training?" And he said, "João Cancelo." He said, "The guy's unbelievable." He went, "I've seen him do things in training I didn't think was possible." And now you're seeing it, you know what I mean? But some of these players were, you know, when these fans got on players' backs first season and they say, oh, he's shit and he's having a bad season. Cancelo had a bad season in his first season. Rodri had a bad season in his first season. But you just got to buy time with him, like I say. And Pep Guardiola's got a lot of trust in him. And he's improving. The whole team's improving. Listen, it's a joy to watch. As a Man City fan, all the Blues out there were coming out of the ground, were smiling. Even when we've lost to Palace and drawn against Southampton, you know what I mean? You've just got to hold your hands up because the football we're watching at the minute as Manchester City support is unbelievable.
I proper didn't get why Juve sold him. It just didn't make sense to me.
Like, loads of dodginess with them deals, man.
It was such a weird decision because
they got a good deal, though.
It was a great deal for Man City. 30 million plus. And Danilo, like this. And Cancelo has definitely taken his game up another level at Man City. But before he joined Man City, he was widely regarded as one of the best right backs on the planet. anyway. So that's minimal.
Gary Neville had him at Valencia and said he recommended him to United and never took the option up on it.
I just didn't get that deal. It didn't make any sense.
Italian clubs do that though. Recently, they need the money over there as well. So that's what they've been doing for years now: selling the big players and then trying to bring in the next big thing.
Yeah, but loads of dodgy deals, man.
Thanks, like that, man. Thanks, Steve. Anyway, 3-0. I knew you lot would pat them, man. I knew it.
Why you say thanks to him?
That was your correct score.
I said thanks because I predicted 3-0. So his team
was 2-0. Right?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It was 3-0, bro.
Okay.
Is it 3-0?
Yeah. But can we skip the can we skip the table this week, man? Fucking...
I'm on that, to be honest. No.
I predicted 2-0 and then they go and get the third with 4 minutes to go.
I just want
to
say
can't be bothered.
It's sad to see about Aguero as well. You know what I mean? It's not sad to see, you know, it's
bro,
not great
that
to see.
Got it, man.
But yeah, man, it's
I'm just
it's
waiting
not
for the announcement man. Because the announcement apparently Sammy and
they've announced said, it.
Up there.
Is it not, did it not Fabrizio not, say
yeah,
something
I don't
about,
think, yeah.
No, it's not been officially announced. I think it's gonna I spoke to someone today that's there, but and he said it's coming out, but you know what I mean? It is what it is. I told you, did I say weeks ago when it happened that there's no doctor in the land that's going to clear a player with a heart problem to be 100% on the pitch and getting insurance for these players and stuff like that. You can't do it, man. I'm telling you. And his family, I know his family was saying, call it a day. And, you know, he's got nothing to prove anymore. You know what I mean? He left Man City a legend and he just needs to go and do what he just goes, do whatever he wants. Sergio Aguero, man, the guy, you know what I mean? It's emotional. I feel sorry for him, but he's got nothing to prove. You know what I mean? The records he broke in the Premier League, the joy he brought to the blue side of Manchester. Sergio Aguero will always be a legend.
Didn't he want to go back to play for his first club as well?
Yeah, he's built an academy at Independiente. And I think he was wanting to go back there and play for them. It's a shame. You never know. He might go to Argentina, get a dodgy sick note off one of them doctors and play again. You just don't know, do you?
Yeah, well, I bet there's probably always a space at Man City in the coaching room or somewhere for him anyway. Even if
I think, you know what, you've got to give credit to him. The guy sat in his gaff in Manchester for 10 years in the rain, playing on the PlayStation, didn't moan, broke records. He deserves a bit of sun, I think. He needs to go to Argentina and float back.
Yeah, he probably does want to relax a bit better and then maybe come back and then earn the bucks again. All right, cool. What's that Man City done? A little Tottenham. Might as well fit them in there then. Tobes, I love how when it's Arsenal, you cut it halfway through, you're ready. When it's Tottenham, you're just there reading or doing homework or something.
Homework? I said homework, you know.
I don't have homework, I have work, real work. It's worse. Sorry, you caught me off guard there. But yeah, I'm happy with the result. Not happy with the performance. First half, we were shocking to a man. Absolutely shocking. Rubbish performance. And a performance that we've become used to as Spurs fans over the past like 2-3 years. But second half, even at half time, Antonio Conte fired a rocket, up their asses. And second half come out completely different team. And I think we got the deserved result. Like I think we came out second half and peppered them for probably like a 15-minute spell. And it was enough to get us over the line. I can talk about how embarrassing it is that we're going life and death with a Leeds side that have got no Bamford, no Rafinha, no Rodrigo, literally
no Llorente, no Ailing.
No, Llorente played, but no Ailing.
No, Llorente didn't play.
No, he did. Llorente played.
No, it was Pastore, Strike and Colin Cooper at the back.
Llorente played. I'm telling
did
you.
Did he?
Yeah.
No Ailing,
yeah, but like, yeah, Ailing, they were missing a lot of players and they got a small squad anyway, so that's the bad side. It's embarrassing that we're having to go life and death with these teams. And even Conte said it in his press conference that he wasn't sure that our team could maintain the intensity for 90 minutes, and he was scared that we couldn't. And he's right, because this team, they're unfit, they're not good enough in terms of personnel, but like that manager, man, he's gonna. There's a reason why I love him so much. Like, his passion just seeps through our team. And, like, Matisse will tell you, like, I'm tweeting about this guy. I'll randomly just be at work and I'll just say I love Antonio Conte. Because, like, honestly, it bewilders me that this guy's our manager. Like, we've been so bad the last 2 years. And to get a manager like this, bruv. Like,
man honestly, said he's at work thinking I love Antonio Conte.
Bro, I'm literally tweeting... I'm tweeting Antonio Conte. I love his passion. Like, I just love everything about this guy. I've loved him for years, and I'm so glad he's a Spurs manager. And we're gonna need his passion to sort of carry us through to January, because as you can see, and as you saw yesterday as well, we lack serious, serious personnel. And I think we're gonna need him to just try and carry us over the line so we can get some players in January.
Yeah. It was a good whisper.
No one else got no thoughts on Tottenham, man.
Nah, man. You know what?
Sorry.
I just want to say it's Tottenham now. I think they're 2 points ahead of us. You know what I mean? They've got some favourable fixtures. Who you got next? Is it Newcastle or something that told me? Winnable games, isn't it?
We got a couple of runs. People calling me simp and shit. I don't even care. These men are twerking.
Right, okay.
These dumb Twitter football babes and they're calling me a simp. Yeah. Matisse, you don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you see your little.
You see, you have fallen for him a bit, haven't you? It's your first love. It's the passion. It's the you know.
I love him.
Pinching your fist at the fans and whatnot.
I love him, bro.
But like I said, let's see if you got to win something with this brother, because these type of managers for Tottenham, no offense, they only come round once in a while. Do you know what I mean? You don't get world class managers at the peak of their powers coming through Tottenham every single day. So for me, you know what I mean, it's like, obviously I hope this doesn't happen, but you for your sake, you man better win something with this brother, because he's serious. Do you know what I'm saying? And to be honest, he probably suits United more than he suits you. And maybe a couple of weeks ago, he wanted the United job. And he was waiting for that job. And obviously, they didn't sack Ollie fast enough. They should have sacked Ollie maybe in the international break. And then maybe he would be sitting at Old Trafford right now. So you really got to make it worth his while him sitting in your dugout, bro.
Maybe Pochettino would have came to Tottenham. You never know.
Yeah, honestly. It probably would have made sense.
This is an underrated comment still.
That's mad.
Can't I love this guy? Like, bro, what?
It's just sweet, you know. It's adorable.
Can I say something? Can I say something?
I love in world football.
Pop, can I ask you something,
Antonio and Pep?
Toby, can I ask you something?
Go on.
So, just say you saw Antonio Conte at the end there, right? And you wasn't a Spurs fan. Be real, the kind of guy that you are, right? Just say that was Klopp or Tactical Tommy or Pochettino, right? Celebrating like that against a depleted Leeds team, how would you have felt?
It's a bit harsh.
You would have come on Big Six. What would you have said?
Yeah, I would have taken a piss out of him.
It's so shameless.
Honestly, I like that.
So shameless.
Yeah, you're fucking shameless.
He's all the time, though. You know, Grizz. To be fair to Conte, he does it at every single club, though. That's within his nature.
Every single match.
He does it every club. He did it at Chelsea. Remember when he went to the fans to celebrate with?
I think Klopp done the same. It was very psychological. It's what elite manager done. He knew what he was doing. It wasn't the fact that they beat Leeds. He wanted
for the cameras as well.
Yeah, man, 100%. I just want to hear Toby's honesty. Toby proved me wrong. He's very honest.
Nah, I say the chat's got me. I can't even lie. So let me focus. All right, cool. Yeah, you lot broke a record as well. 6 halves without a shot, innit? Shot on target.
Terrible, bro.
Terrible. Yeah, you won it in the end. Like you said, you turned it around. At half time, I know you were stressed still. At half time, I was close to replying to your tweet on Saturday still. I thought, let me wait another 45 before this.
Harry Kane, man. What is going on with this Harry Kane, man? Telling you.
We even want to ask that question, Saeed. There's not enough time, Saeed.
Telling you, man. You know what I mean?
Figure out what's wrong with this man. Tobes is like, you know, against Leeds. Hopefully he'll do it. Do you know what I mean? Open defense, rare tear. And this guy is still on holidays. Like, I don't know what
he's waiting for.
You know, I bought him in the FPL, wasn't it? Like, I took out Havertz and I bought him in. That's right.
Where were you in that league, Chris? I want to ask you, where were you in that league?
No, we've got to move it. We've got to end it.
Say no more, people. We've covered everyone. Obviously, we're back again. Obviously, end of this week, Thursday. Have we all agreed Thursday, 8 p.m.?
Yeah,
Thursday, 8 p.m., people. I know it's not the usual Friday, but, you know, that gives people an extra day to watch it in between as well before the weekend starts. So Thursday, 8 p.m., make sure you're there. Still 4.3K in the building. 1.5k likes. Get it to 2k before we end the stream, and get the rest of the lads up. The channel links in the description below. Grizz, Toby, Matisse, Steve, and Saeed, including Skullfuggery and the official Big Six channel, which is launching real soon. Prediction league time. Let me just bring that up. I nearly forgot. Oh, it was game week 11.
This is long.
Grizz, I think it happened on second
Grizz,
to bottom.
There's only
second
one man that's vexed here, because look what happens this week. Come on, man. What's going on? I'm going back to
next, bro. I'm still waiting.
Watch out, Grizz.
Still waiting for my next
crazy.
I'm going backwards. It feel like, how did that happen? Wait, one.
Wait, is this the new scoreboard?
Turkish, you didn't move.
Is this the new scoreboard?
Look at the gap in between. 4 points.
Bro, I need a correct score, man. I've been here for weeks.
This is what you do, man. I just risked it with Leeds and Tottenham as well.
I needed one score to go clear because I knew only Steve was smashing it with a fucking prediction. Why did I only say 3-0 to Liverpool, man?
I'm not messing about anymore now. I've had enough.
Where's all these bums in the chat now? Where's all these bums in the chat that was giving me shit saying, ah, Steve's bottom of the league. Steve's gonna, his head's gonna be dead red when he's eating the chili and all that shit. Where are they now?
I hope this gets clipped up.
That would be perfect, though. Imagine it gets clipped up and he finishes last. What an introduction.
It is.
Yeah, all right, man. I need to pattern up, man.
I can't be doing this.
People don't do your homework. That's the problem.
When was the last time you got a correct score, Grizz?
What's a correct score? That's fluky, isn't it? You just got to keep it moving. Every week, keep getting the right
score. That's what I said last year. I was leading every week, and I got done in the last 2 weeks of the season.
By me.
Oh, wait. Who won last year? Saeed?
Saeed, yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah. After Big Steve led all that time. Mad.
I know.
And I finished bottom. I was just studying.
Come on.
It's coming to fruition now.
Setting up in people. Love for the love as always. 4,000 still here. Thursday, 8 p.m. Just a reminder there. Obviously, if you've got notifications on, you won't miss it. And yeah, as always, make sure you tune in then. Peace, people. We're out.